Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. I like to begin every show with a devotion, and today's devotion is titled, The Least You Can Do. And whoever gives to one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is my disciple, surely I declare to you, he shall not lose his reward. Matthew 10:42. Anyone who has experienced Southern hospitality knows what it is to receive a warm, sweet welcome with a generous helping of good food. The Israelites said much in praise of hospitality and believed that to offer food, drink, and lodging to someone would bring a blessing upon their own home, as is the case with the house of Obed-Edom, where David lodged the ark for a time. And you can read the whole story in 2 Samuel 6:11. For his hospitality, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he had, including his family, land, and livestock. He prospered in every way a person can prosper. To help others in time of need can also bring the blessings of success, protection, and happiness to the one who blesses. Jesus said that to offer a disciple of Christ even a cup of cold water, which even though the poorest among us can afford to give, would also be rewarded. Faith check. The very least any of us can do to help others is to offer a cup of cold water to someone who thirsts. And the most we can do to help others is limitless according to the abundance of the heart. And today our saying is on a piece of like blue jean material. Every good friend was once a stranger. We have many prayer requests today and we hold them up to Jesus. And let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, that we can immediately send a prayer to you. We can think a prayer and we can groan a prayer. We might not even know the words for our prayer, but Lord, you know our heart. And I hold up to you today a family who has no income and they've applied for unemployment but have not received anything yet. Provide for them, Lord. I pray for another family whose loved one is taking chemotherapy and it's very scary for them to go in there and get their therapy done. And I pray for this nation and pray for healing in that. And I pray for our leaders as they make decisions on our behalf. I pray for a family that is so thankful, Lord, their little girl they thought they'd lost, and you have healed her. I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask that you be with our show, that our words will be your words. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name, amen. Ta-da! Arts and Crafts Corner. And we are talking about making sun prints today. I love doing things outside, and you can get expensive chemicals that actually you can make sun prints, or you can buy this special paper that you can make sun prints with. But we're just going to use simple construction paper. What you need is some new construction paper that hasn't been faded already by the sun. You take your stuff out there and can just go around and collect some leaves and some twigs, and then you put it on the construction paper. If you need to weight it down with some little pebbles, that's fine. But remember, even the little stone can actually become part of the print if you're not careful. If you have a piece of plexiglass you can put over it, or you can put a piece of saran wrap and just hold it down there and just let the sun work. It only takes a couple of hours, and then when you come back, you can see the sun print of your image. And there is science about this. You can go to my Pinterest site and go to a forest classroom, my board called Forest Classroom, and you'll see a picture there of some little kids doing some sun prints. And if you click on that picture, then it leads you to much more information. So have fun in your learning. In our curriculum corner today, we're going to discuss the topic of math. Last time we talked about Bible, and apart from Bible, I think math is one of the most spiritual topics because it teaches the children the basic fundamentals, or it gives them a vocabulary and concepts of design, and our God is a God of design. So we're going to talk about math. I highly recommend Saxon Math. I know that there are very few homeschoolers who haven't heard of Saxon Math. And you can have your child do all of the work that's there. They will be so well versed in math. I know students that I made them do everything, every single problem, went on to college and clept out of every math. They never had to take math again. And they loved that, but they hated all of the repetitiveness and all of the work that they had to do over and over and over again. So that being said, you might want to pick and choose. If your child seems to be grasping it quickly, why give them a bunch of busy work? Go on to the next lesson. That's how I would handle Saxon Math. The other thing is, don't overlook these free math online stuff, like Khan Academy is fantastic as far as showing videos and even having work there that a child can do. And then if you want to purchase, I love the Think Well Homeschool online series. I love the video clips. I love the little 6-minute quiz-like thing that you can take. And then if you didn't get the concepts well, you can look at the videos again and you can take it again with a different set of numbers and the same questions. It's very thorough. And even though it costs money, it certainly will prepare your student, especially as they get into high school and you want to keep homeschooling them, but you don't feel like you have the skill set to do that. Really consider something like Think Well Homeschool. Think Well Homeschool. So that concludes our curriculum corner on the topic of math. Questions parents ask. A question came in about geography particularly. What would be a fun way to teach my children the states and the capitals and maybe the rivers or something major about that state, unique to that state? And so I have two suggestions. One, just if it's just for memorizing the states and the capitals, there's a fun online game put out by Cetera. You can go to my Pinterest site. I've put it there under geography games. I put it under there, geography and social studies. And in that board, you can see a link to Cetera. It's Cetera, Cetera Geography Games. And that's a cool online way to learn. Just incorporate that, make them spend so much time practicing. And then in playing, you know, we learn best when we play. And then as far as curriculum, I like Abeka the best. It is very thorough. You can combine grades, but it starts with kindergarten and goes all the way up. And that's a paper one that you would buy. So if you're just learning the state names of the states and the capitals, you know, that's a fun way. It's a fun thing to do online. But if you really want to do a overall social studies curriculum, then you'd want to do something like a BECA or BJU or any of the other ones that are recommended. And then we have one more question that I think I can get in here. Again, someone is asking, you know, when do you let your boys go into the bathroom alone? Well, I say it's always better to be safe than sorry. So you need to know who's gone in the bathroom. And I wouldn't let my child, unless they looked like a teen, you know, looked like a 13-year-old, let's say. Even that could be dangerous. So I'd look for a family bathroom. I certainly wouldn't embarrass them by making them go into the girls' bathroom, but there are family bathrooms. By law now, every establishment is supposed to have a family bathroom. So you can go in there. And yes, always it's better to be safe than sorry. I'm sorry that we live in the day in which we live in, where we have to be worried about those kinds of things. But unfortunately, we do have to worry. So, you know, take care of your precious, precious boys, too, just as much as you look after your precious girls. And with that, I have to say that's my advice. So our guest for the second half of the show is Dr. Greg Jantz. And he wrote the book that we're going to specifically talk about, Healing Depression for Life, the personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief. I know you want to stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Hi, Grandma.
Well, hello, favorite granddaughter, Mariam.
I'm your only granddaughter.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to talk to your father about that. How was school today?
We studied about World War I. Do you remember it?
No. Believe it or not, it was a few decades before my time. What did you learn?
I learned that people can be very mean to each other. Grandma, why do they do that?
I think that people fight each other because they listen to the other voice.
The other voice?
In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were walking around and playing with the animals, a voice called from a tree. Remember the story?
Oh, yes. I learned that at Bible class. Satan was in the tree looking like a beautiful serpent. He told Eve to eat the fruit that God said not to eat.
And what did she do?
She ate it.
Why did she do that?
Because she listened to the other voice. The voice that wasn't God's, right?
Exactly. God's voice said, don't eat. Satan's voice said, eat. In World War I and II and Korea and Vietnam and in the Middle East, God's voice said, don't fight. Satan's voice said, fight. Today, God's voice says to us, don't cheat, don't lie, don't be unkind. Satan says just the opposite. We need to decide who to listen to every day.
Thanks, Grandma. I want to listen to God's voice.
Smart girl. You get that from your dad's side of the family, you know.
Oh, Grandma.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Welcome, Dr. Jantz, to our show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to share with our listeners your bio so they know a little bit about you. Dr. Jantz is a certified eating disorder specialist, a certified chemical dependency counselor, a nationally certified psychologist, and a licensed mental health counselor. The author of 39 books, Dr. Jantz is the founder of The Center, A Place of Hope, which is listed as one of the top 10 facilities for treatment of depression in the United States. He brings a message of hope and healing to audiences through seminars, conferences, and the media. And you can listen to this show for free. Thank you. You're bringing a wealth of information to us. And all our listener has to do is just stay on the line.
Oh, that's awesome. Good to be with you today.
And they can go to the website called aplaceofhope.com.
Aplaceofhope.com
to learn more. So let's begin at the very beginning. Depression, I know, is one of, in fact, I for myself would rather have the flu or some kind of cold or something than to have depression. Is that painful? So how did your personal life evolve that you became interested in this topic?
You know, one of my passions is to save lives and futures. And so this is our 36 year of treating depression and anxiety. My passion is people suffer way too long and they don't know that they have options or what those options may be. So when we look at this topic of depression, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of shame. People feel ashamed that I even am struggling with this, and they tend to want to hide it away, or we just want the instant fix. Give me that pill. I want this to go away. And that's kind of the culture we live in, is instant fix. What we know for long-term recovery, that depression is not an instant fix. We've got to look at this. I look at it as a 1,000-piece puzzle. Lots and lots of pieces. God designed us and this whole person. And so we've got to pray and have wisdom to know what pieces of the puzzle does this person need to complete their puzzle, so to speak. So we look at it that way. From the whole person.
Now, did you ever personally suffer from depression?
Yes, I had a pretty significant crash in my life. It was in 1989, so it's been a while. And I know what I had to do to really rebuild my life, rebuild physically, emotionally, relationships. And so I know what it's like. And I made a decision that we were going to become the best possible place to get help for depression, and we've been voted in the top 10 places in the country to get help for depression because I know there are answers. And so we do this and approach this a little differently. That's what we write about in Healing Depression for Life.
Yes, I have the book right in front of me. Your cover is pretty simple.
Yes.
You know, it just has a circle that has some colors in it. But then Healing Depression for Life, when I read that, I gravitated to the words rather than the illustration. Usually the illustration, you look at that first and then you look at the title.
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose?
That'd have to be our good publisher that did all that.
So Healing Depression for Life by Gregory Jantz. And the beginning of the book is, I don't know if it's a preface or a foreword by Dr. Michael.
Yeah, Dr. Garion.
Garion. And he, all of his life, he had talked about battling with depression. And then when he sought help, he even had some traumatic experiences happen with molestation, which added to it. Do you think that depression makes you vulnerable for more pain?
Well, I think depression can originate. Maybe it's growing up. Maybe there was trauma. Could come in a form of abuse, could be emotional abuse. There's different forms of abuse. So a person who's had a traumatic event, and maybe 20 years have passed, and you just haven't really realized that traumatic event, it altered brain chemistry, it maybe affected trust in relationships. So we need to be willing to look at, well, what from the past could be influencing my present day depression. Now, we don't want to go back and blame everybody. It's not about that. But maybe there's a place of forgiveness. Maybe there's a place where I need to look at, okay, that really did have an effect on me, and I need to deal with that.
Well, let's just go through some of the topics that you handle, starting with the mind.
Sure.
So sound asleep, what does that mean for you?
As you look at our mind, and we divide the book up into the different aspects of the whole person, one of the things that I've been involved in sleep research, people who are depressed and anxious tend to have very disruptive sleep cycles. Sometimes they want to sleep all the time, and then you wake up and you don't feel rested. Other times they wake up during the night and they can't get back to sleep. So our sleep cycles are very important for our emotional well-being. So what can we do to reestablish what I call sleep hygiene? What's the pre-sleep routine? You know, even something as simple as our devices that have blue light. Are you on your device right up to bedtime? We know that we need to chill out on those devices an hour or so before bed. That stimulation and that blue light, for example, can be disruptive to our sleep cycle. So some simple things, but important.
So the mind, you handle the sleep, depression, devices,
yes.
The devices. And then let's talk a little bit about the stress, stressed and depressed.
So often people who end up depressed, have had a long history of chronic stress. And, you know, most people, when they're stressed out, they just keep going and going and going. That's what we do as human beings. But you reach a stopping point. You reach a chronic stopping point where you probably crash. That chronic stress may have physical implications, your high blood pressure, immune system, setting up for disease, etc. So we need to look at chronic stress can lead us down a path of some pretty significant depression.
So now this book isn't necessarily, it's not necessarily faith-based.
Well, we always want to cover aspects of faith as one of the keys to the whole person. I have laid this out so this would be something that, you know, you can look at all these different areas of your life and go, okay, which one do I need to dig in a little more?
Well, and I like the idea that it's not overtly faith-based.
Sure.
Because I want to share it with a neighbor, and I
yes.
don't want them to be turned off.
We want to make it user-friendly. We want to be able to hand yes. this to somebody and go, here's some great information.
And we know in the faith-based community that we are mind, soul, and body.
Yeah.
We know that. So, you know, it's there. The principles are there, but it's not overtly faith-based. And I do appreciate that because I have dear friends
yes.
that are, you know, so many times they've been told, look it, the reason you're depressed is because you're letting
right.
Satan impact you, and it's just the evil spirits. I mean, I've heard
sure.
this.
Yeah.
I've heard this a lot, that
yes.
it's the evil spirits surrounding you, and so all you need to do is just pray, and
right.
it'll be fixed. And then, you know, if they pray and it's not fixed, now
yeah.
we've really done a disservice yeah. to the gospel.
Absolutely. And, you know, shame and depression go together, so sometimes a person, maybe because of their faith, they feel like, wow, I can't tell anybody about this, and they suffer in silence.
Yes. Yeah, I think probably Christians suffer more than anybody else because of the very fact that they...
And maybe needlessly, right?
Yes.
Yes.
yes. So let's talk about the three deadly emotions.
Sure. Well, I call them three deadly emotions. There's anger, fear, and guilt.
Anger,
okay.
fear, and guilt.
So one word for anger could be hurt. I've been hurt. I've been traumatized. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm injured. As a healthy human being, we have to deal with hurts and anger in our life, or find a way to do that. Otherwise, it turns into resentments, bitterness. And so how do we deal with hurt? So that's a key. The other one I mentioned is fear. Fear comes in different forms. Worry is a form of fear. A person who is constantly worrying. Anxiety means that you have physical symptoms. So I feel it in my gut, my blood pressure goes up, my heart rate's up, I get headaches. That's anxiety. So anxiety and fear and worry. And then finally, I'm going to mention guilt. Maybe another word for guilt could be shame. I feel shameful. I feel defective. Something's wrong with me. So those are factors.
Yes. Well, we've come to the end of our show. I thank you so much, Dr. Jantz, for helping us through these issues that contribute to depression. And I thank you for taking the time to write the book called Healing Depression for Life. If you want to know more, please go to aplaceofhope.com. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.